Today's Bible passage comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 40, verses 1 through 23. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, "Why are your faces downcast today?" They said to him, We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me. And on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." Then Joseph said to him, "This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the hands of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, "I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Today we will look at another aspect of Joseph's suffering through chapter 40 of Genesis. Before we get into today's text, there is something we should think about first. It is about a life of walking with God. Today's text says that God was with Joseph while Joseph suffered. In other words, he walked alongside Joseph. So what does it mean to live a life of walking with God? Amos chapter 3 verse 3 offers insight into this life. "Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet?" Walking together suggests that two people share one mindset and purpose. No matter how long we live alongside one another, if our thoughts and goals are different, we are not truly sharing a life together. Are we living a life of walking together in the family and church that God has entrusted to us? Are we united in mind and purpose in our relationships? Even if other aspects of our lives vary, are we focused on one mind and one purpose in Jesus, moving toward the single goal of glorifying God? When God first created Adam and Eve, they served Him with one mind and one purpose, living in harmony with each other and with God. Their lives were centered around the purpose of glorifying God, enjoying Him, and fulfilling His will. Adam and Eve participated in a shared life with the triune God. Their existence testified to the unity of the triune God. In essence, Adam and Eve lived in fellowship with God, walking closely with Him. They embraced the life God envisioned, trusting that His will was the best, most holy, and most righteous path. This trust allowed them to align their desires with God's will, eagerly longing for it to be fulfilled. They lived in a manner that moved them toward heaven, where they would walk entirely with God. This was the life that God deemed good at creation. Then sin entered the world. One major consequence of this fall is that sinners can no longer walk in close relationship with God. Tempted by Satan and driven by their own sinful nature, fallen humans seek to abandon God, desiring instead to become gods themselves. They strive to live for their own glory and follow their own will, leaving behind a life of obeying God. Even though they are aware that living apart from God leads to destruction, sinners choose to turn away from Him in pursuit of worldly satisfaction and desires. This path is characterized by a rejection of divine companionship. All sinners live in a way that distances them from God's presence. Their relationships are not marked by unity. Instead, they compete against one another to satisfy their own desires. However, God did not abandon His people when they fell into sin. Although they chose to live according to their own desires rather than walk with Him, God extended grace to them to save them. He turned them away from the path of sin and toward the path of life. In other words, God initiates a relationship with His people to fulfill His will for them through His sovereign grace and power. God saves His elect so that they can walk with Him. As we walk with God, we experience salvation through Christ. Our growth comes from relationship with God. Apostle Paul describes the lives of the saints who walk with God in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The life of a saved saint is one of worship, where we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice that pleases God, moving away from a life lived solely for our own glory and desires. This life involves being transformed by renewing our hearts, discerning what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is, embracing that will as our own and obeying it. This is a life of walking with God and a true expression of worship. God has already accomplished this transformation and will perfectly complete it in the lives of His saints. This journey mirrors the life of Jesus, the true Son of God, who fully embraced the heart and will of God the Father and walked with Him completely. He will guide and transform us to live a life of walking with God. So how does God accomplish this pleasing will of God in our lives? How can He help us turn away from the sinful life we once lived according to our own desires and instead embrace and obey His will as our own? God shows us this through the life of Joseph. As we learned last week, God was with Joseph and tested him through His word, even during times of suffering. The key to this transformation is the Word of God. Through it, God helped Joseph to abandon his own will, trust in Him, seek His will, and live by faith. This process allowed Joseph to grow in his fellow relationship with God, who was there with him every step of the way. The scriptures describe this type of life as the true prosperity. Here we find the purpose of suffering that God allows in the life of the saint. God tests and trains us with His word through our suffering. The Bible tells us that the suffering of the saints is clear evidence that God is walking with us. Hebrews 5 tells us that although Jesus was the Son of God, He learned obedience through the suffering and was perfected as a result. This made Jesus the source of our salvation. While we are already considered God's children through Jesus, we learn obedience through our own suffering, striving towards perfection as God's children. This life of walking with God was not only the purpose of creating man in the beginning, but also the purpose of God's salvation. In heaven, we will live in perfect communion with God. Just as the relationship within the Trinity is flawless, we too will align our hearts with God's, obeying His words out of perfect love. This is what eternal life looks like, a life of worshiping God and becoming more like Jesus. It will provide us with the greatest joy and satisfaction. However, until that day comes, we need to be shaped not only by the Word of God, but also through suffering. This journey is part of the sanctification process that we must go through while on earth. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. In this passage, when Paul tells the saints who have already been saved to work out their salvation, he is referring to the process of sanctification. Sanctification is a gift of God's grace. Therefore, when he tells believers to work out their salvation, he reminds them that it is God who is at work within them. In other words, God is with us, guiding us, and actively facilitating our sanctification. How does He do this? He works in us so that we are willing and act according to His good purpose. God empowers us to desire and carry out His good and pleasing will. He helps us embrace, obey, and live in alignment with God's purpose. This blessing is what we experience while living on earth, providing evidence that God walks alongside us. Through this relationship, we grow in our ability to walk closely with God. Living a life that aligns with God and embraces His good and pleasing will is not easy. Often, this life does not bring us joy. Why is this the case? Even though we are saved, we still struggle with sins and desires. A sinner does not want to walk with God. In fact, he resists having God in his life because he wants to live according to his evil desires. However, the Holy Spirit continuously works, helping the redeemed to turn away from this old life and grow in a new life. The journey of walking with God can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit and His grace. He accomplishes this by training us through suffering and the Word. This provides insight into why Joseph experienced continuous suffering throughout his life. From our perspective, Joseph's hardships may seem unjustified. However, this was not because God was distant, uninterested, or abandoned Joseph. The text clearly shows that God was with Joseph. God's pleasing will for Joseph involved using suffering as a means of training him. God constantly worked and guided Joseph towards a life where Joseph could align his heart and will with his. This is why the Bible reveals that despite Joseph's severe hardships, God was with him. Instead of focusing on how Joseph fulfilled God's pleasing will in his life, we tend to focus solely on his rise to the position of Prime Minister of Egypt. We overlook the glory found in his act of forgiving, loving, and helping his brothers, choosing instead to emphasize the worldly achievements that Joseph attained through God's assistance. However, the reality is quite the opposite. God not only guided Joseph in walking with him, he also shaped him into a person who embodied God's heart and will. As a result of this transformation, Jacob's family was saved from famine. In other words, God molded Joseph into someone who could forgive and love his brothers, even when they acted like enemies trying to harm him. This is the way God made Joseph resemble Jesus. In Genesis 15, God promised Abraham that his descendants would live as strangers and slaves in a foreign land for 400 years, then come out. This promise is now being fulfilled through Joseph's life. Ultimately, Joseph learned obedience through suffering. We must also recognize this truth in our lives. Our lives should be centered on Jesus. He is not only necessary at the moment of our salvation, we need Jesus from the beginning to the end of our lives. He's our everything. God initiates and completes our salvation through Jesus. Our salvation, our existence as redeemed people, and the glory we experience are all found in Him. The entire narrative of salvation and the teachings of the Bible revolve around Jesus. We must understand everything through Him and keep Him at the center of our lives. The life of a saint in communion with God is not simply one where God helps us fulfill our own desires. If we hold that belief, we will surely fall along the way. When our wishes go unfulfilled or our prayers go unanswered, we might think that God has abandoned us, leading us to turn away from Him. This was evident in the case of Israel during their time in the wilderness. Regardless of our situation or hardships, even when we face confusing or seemingly unjust trials, we should not find it strange. Instead, we must believe that God is with us. We should strive to set aside our own desires and trust in His will. By joyfully obeying His will, we grow into lives that reflect and resemble Jesus. The poor in their poverty, the rich in their wealth, the sick in their pain, the healthy in their health, the failed in their failure, the lost and deprived in their lost and deprived lives, the lonely, tired, and weary in their lonely, tired, and weary lives, no matter what our respective realities, we should find ourselves as citizens of heaven only in Jesus, believing that God is with us, and live with patience to the end, embracing and obeying God's will as our own will. That life was the life of Jesus and His suffering on the cross. Jesus embraced God's good will as His own, emptied Himself thoroughly, and obeyed until the death, and although He suffered unjustly, He trusted God to the end, thoroughly denied Himself, carried the cross given by God, and went to the place of judgment. He allows us to participate in the life of Jesus and let us follow the path that Jesus took. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Then Jesus told His disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in His steps." The lives of the saints reflect the journey of following Jesus, who learned obedience through suffering and was made perfect. This journey is made possible by the Holy Spirit, who works within us to instill new desires and encourages us to move forward in faith. It is essential for us to understand what it means to walk with God, embracing His will and committing to obey it. Walking together in unity of mind is not achieved through force. Instead, a life spent walking with God, trusting in His will, and obeying it is an active and positive experience. Faith does not lead to passivity or helplessness. It is believing and trusting that God is at work, joyfully accepting His will as our own, actively praying for its fulfillment, and taking courageous steps of faith, regardless of the outcome. Joseph's life exemplifies unwavering faith in difficult circumstances. Even while in prison, he clung to God's will and trusted Him. This resilience is evident in the lives of all the saints. Jesus Himself embodies the essence of complete trust in God's will and obedience, demonstrating both active and passive obedience until His death. When we say passive obedience, it does not imply that Jesus was unwillingly dragged along. Rather, it means His willingness to endure suffering for God's purpose. Jesus joyfully and actively obeyed God, even to the point of death. Remember the moment He went to the cross? He willingly presented Himself to the soldier sent by Judas Iscariot to arrest Him, allowing His disciples to escape. At that moment, all the soldiers fell backward. Jesus chose to go to the cross. Through His perfect obedience, He was recognized as righteous by God and imparted that righteousness to us, becoming our sole source of justification. We are called to live the life exemplified by Jesus. It is important to understand that living an active, positive, and voluntary life of believing in and obeying God, as well as walking with Him, does not necessarily lead to more comfortable or successful life in the world. Some might argue that Joseph ended up successful, but this perspective is flawed. We should not view the glory that Joseph attained as merely worldly glory. We often expect worldly rewards for our actions, whether through prayers, offerings, or acts of service. We tend to base our expectations on our enthusiasm and sincerity. However, the Bible presents a different viewpoint. It teaches that those who are blessed are often those who face persecution for the sake of righteousness. It also teaches us that anyone who wishes to lead a godly life in Christ Jesus will face persecution. Living according to God's will and walking with Him often involves suffering and persecution in this world. No matter, God's pleasing will is being fulfilled through it. Heavenly blessings and glory that this world can never enjoy are realized. Although Jesus' life of actively obeying God's will led to the cross, God's will to save us was fulfilled when Jesus died and reached the glory of resurrection. Actually, we are already enjoying that glory and blessing in Jesus. In it, we are confident that God's pleasing will and purpose will be fulfilled, and we actively trust in God until the end, discern His will, and obey Him in any situation and circumstance. This is the life of a saint who walks with God. If we look back at Genesis 39, which we looked at last time, we find these words. In today's passage, we see Joseph, who believed in God and lived faithfully, facing imprisonment. Yet in the end, Joseph also reached glory, his family was saved, and God's remarkable plan was fulfilled. Likewise, we will ultimately arrive at the glory of heaven and enjoy eternal blessings through Christ. In fact, we are already experiencing that glory and blessing in Jesus. We can be confident that God's pleasing will and purpose will be achieved. Therefore, we should actively trust in God until the end, discerning His will and obeying Him in every situation and circumstance. This is the life of a saint who walks with God. Let's read Genesis chapter 39, verses 2, 3, and 23. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to succeed in his hands. The keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. We have already examined this passage, but let's consider what happens just before the events of chapter 39, where Joseph's suffering begins, and chapter 40, where another aspect of suffering unfolds. It begins with the phrase, "The Lord was with Joseph." Essentially, this means God accompanied Joseph throughout his trials. However, the life that followed was filled with suffering. Despite God's presence, Joseph was falsely accused and endured hardship in the house of the Egyptian whom he had faithfully served. He also faced challenges in prison, where he had interpreted dreams for the chief cupbearer, who later forgot about him, leaving Joseph in prison for additional 2 years. Doesn't this seem strange? It may at first glance, but we must look at Joseph's experiences through the lens of faith, recognizing the glory and blessings that God worked in his life. God was with Joseph, and through those trials, his pleasing will was achieved. Joseph emerged from these experiences with a deeper trust in God and a closer walk with him. Was Joseph the only person in the Bible with whom God walked in this manner? Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. God walked with Enoch and took him to heaven. He walked with Noah, saving him from the judgment of the flood and bringing him to the new earth. It's not just Enoch and Noah. Starting with Abel and including figures like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, David, and all the saints, God was with them, guiding them so they could walk with him. However, this doesn't mean they lived their lives perfectly in step with God. There were times when they chose to go their own way and strayed from his path, leading to destruction. Yet, even during those times, God did not abandon them. He continued to walk alongside them, bringing them back to his will and helping them turn away from sin. When they followed God's will and walked with him, they faced suffering and persecution in this world. But God used that suffering to train them in his word, allowing them to grow in their faith and ultimately guiding them to the eternal home he has prepared for them. The same applies to us. Even when we struggle to recognize God and choose to live in sin, our triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, does not forsake us. He is always with us, protecting and preserving us until he brings us to the glory of heaven. Today's text shows us this clearly. Joseph was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and imprisoned. While in prison, he met the cupbearer and the baker and interpreted their dreams. 3 days later, as he had foretold, the baker was hanged while the cupbearer was released and restored to his original position. Before the cupbearer left, Joseph asked him to remember him when he got back to the palace. Genesis chapter 40, verses 13 through 15. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly, when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit. What happened to Joseph? He initially thought he will be released from prison soon. However, Even after the cupbearer regained his freedom restored to his position, he forgot about Joseph. In Genesis 41, it says that Joseph remained in prison for 2 more years because the cupbearer did not remember him. When Pharaoh had a dream and sought someone to interpret it, the cupbearer finally recalled Joseph. Joseph interpreted the dreams and was subsequently released from prison. Why did God not release the innocent Joseph immediately? Why did God allow him to suffer to the point of losing hope? One possible reason is that Joseph's timing and God's timing were not aligned. Joseph's desires differ from God's plan. God had a greater, better, and more perfect purpose for Joseph and for his people. To cultivate trust in his will, God allowed Joseph to endure these hardships. We can apply this understanding to our own lives. Even when our timelines and desires differ from God's, we must continue to believe in him, trust him, and persevere until the end. Regardless of the paths we take, he will eventually gather us into heaven. Let's revisit the words of the Psalms, chapter 105, verses 17 through 19. He had sent a man ahead of them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were hurt with fetters. His neck was put in a collar of iron, until what he had said come to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. Until God's word is fulfilled, that is, until his will is accomplished, he sent one man, Joseph, ahead of them. Joseph endured a long and difficult journey, being sold into slavery and imprisoned, all while being tested with God's word. God said that he sent Joseph ahead for a purpose. Joseph's own family, including Jacob and his sons, the Israelites, followed the path that Joseph had already taken. Therefore, God's incredible plan for salvation was realized. Only after Joseph reached the position of glory did he understand why he had to be sent ahead. He came to see that it was necessary for God's pleasing will for both him and his people to be fulfilled at the appointed time. In other words, Joseph realized that God was not only working for his benefit, but also for the good of his brothers. Joseph later understood God's will and made a heartfelt confession regarding this truth. Genesis chapter 45, verses 7 and 8. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. We will also make this confession when we reach heaven. Throughout our lives, even during times of suffering that we struggle to understand, we will realize that God was with us, accomplishing his will for us and for our brothers and sisters. Whose life is this? It is the life of Jesus. Joseph lived a life that participated in the life of Jesus, who denied himself and carried the cross to the end according to God's will. Why did Jesus, despite being innocent, endure such suffering and persecution and go to the cross? When Jesus prayed to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood and asking for a cup to be taken from him, why did God not grant that request? It was to fulfill God's eternal will by sending Jesus ahead. This was so that God's people could follow the path that Jesus walked, receive salvation, be crucified with him, be resurrected with him, and ultimately reach the glory of heaven alongside him. Therefore, Jesus believed in and obeyed God's pleasing will, accepting the journey to the cross. Ultimately, God was with Joseph and guided him to live the life of Jesus. He led Joseph along the path that Jesus would eventually walk, revealing the glory of Jesus through him. Joseph was not alone in this calling. All the saints received the same invitation. God walks alongside us in our lives as well. Jesus desires for us to embrace His will as our own and to live in obedience until the end. Even if we don't understand everything, we must believe that God's will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit works within us to bring us into this life, training us through the Word, especially during times of suffering. That is why it is essential to stay connected to the Word. We must seek out places where we can encounter the Word and enjoy fellowship centered around it. Our goal should be to live a life where the Word dwells abundantly within us. Though our path may be challenging, let us all believe and rejoice in the truth that God is with us, accomplishing His good will, and may we strive to reveal the glory of Jesus more and more each day.